realize my health system is similar to what they're trying to get here. And I said, what do you mean? He says, it's a one-payer system. One-payer system. Jesus paid the price for your health. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Oh, by the way, he said this too. He said there's deductibles involved. He said there's deductibles. I said, what do you mean? He said, you got to start deducting those things that separate me from the promise. I got to get rid of fear. I got to get rid of unbelief. I've got to deduct. Come on now. Listen, you may not like this one. Look, everybody up here for 1 second. Everybody up here, look at me for 1 second. You got to deduct sin from your life.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You gotta. Now look, I'm not saying that you have to be sin conscious. I want you to be righteousness conscious. But recognize when there is something in there that is separating you from the blessings of God, then it's called sin.
Amen.
Understand, you are not cursed.
Amen.
The Bible says that nobody can curse that which God has blessed. You are a blessed people.
Yes, thank you.
Because you're under a blessed covenant.
Amen.
Not because you do. It's because of what he's done and what he continues to do in us. Understand, God is perfecting you. He wants you perfect.
Amen.
But he's not expecting you to be the one that makes yourself perfect.
Amen.
He said, be perfect as I am perfect. And then he goes on to say, I'll work it out in you. It's Christ working in you to will to do all things that please him. It's always God working in us.
Amen.
That's the good news.
Amen.
Amen. But so know this, there is a health system, but there is that similarities.
Hallelujah.
Amen. But you don't have to be worrying about it. You have to worry about what the world has to offer. God has given you not the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. A sound mind is one that has no chaos within it. If you live a life that you are living between two places, it'll always bring division and chaos. And out of that will always come all evil things come out of that. Amen? That's why I tell people, either get into the kingdom or get out. If you don't want God, get out. Go live your life the way you want. But if you want God, then get in. And don't just get in by touching your toe into that river of life. Jump in it fully, immersed fully. That's what we call baptizing. You're baptized into his life and out of death in darkness.
Amen.
Amen. So that's where we're going. We're believing that God has established a covenant with us through his son Jesus Christ by the power of his Holy Spirit that delivers us out of darkness into light. There is nothing in this world, that will bring you peace like God will bring you peace. Nothing. Nothing in this world can bring you joy like God brings joy to you. Nothing. I don't care what you do. I don't care what you go after. Everything out there is dying and decaying and falling apart. You don't have to just look at what's going on. And watch. You watch. You can see it even in the body of Christ. You can see those who are operating under the covenant and those who are operating in the flesh trying to get something out of the covenant you can't get by the flesh. You can't get out of God's covenant by you doing something on your own. God established the covenant. God chose you to be part of the covenant. God washed you in the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, in order to bring you into his relationship with him. Nothing you did. I believe personally, my own personal belief is that I can't even take credit for confessing with my mouth and believing with my heart. Because God gave me a new heart. And God poured out his love into my heart. So obviously from the heart comes the words that I need to speak to be in covenant relationship with him. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. And the word of God was brought to us through men by the Holy Spirit. Amen. I got the Holy Spirit in me. All the glory goes to Him.
Amen.
On my own, I'd do my own thing. You know, the closest relationship you're going to get, or the closest example you can have of a covenant relationship with God, is a marriage. That's why adultery is so detrimental. It'll kill you. It will destroy you. When you commit adultery with God, it will kill you and destroy you. It will separate you from the blessings and the covenant of God. God says you commit adultery when you chase after the world instead of Him. That means when you're looking for your joy and happiness and peace and strength and provision and all that other stuff from the worldly system, that means you are going opposite of God. God says if you love the world, you have not the love of the Father. That just means you don't have the love of the Father working in you, operating in you. It doesn't mean that God takes His love from you. He loves you. He'll always love you. Because God is love. He can't help it. But we can choose whether we operate and live in that love, or we can live in the worldly system and love the things of this world and be a worldly person. But don't be surprised when all of a sudden something happens in your life and you step back and say, what happened? God says, you remember when I established that covenant through my son Jesus and I caused you to come into it? And you remember that you were excited about being part of that covenant relationship and you started experiencing all my blessings of joy, of peace, of love, of acceptance? And then all of a sudden, you turned away from it. Remember, you got tempted away and you got drawn away by the lust of the flesh? Or the lust of the eyes? Or the pride of life? When you think you know it all? Or you think you can have all of that in this too? And you establish a higher God for you? You put up an idol in your life? You say, this is my God. It's made out of this and it's made out of that. It's made out of this. And if I don't have that, then I don't have God. He said, you started slipping. You remember I sent my people to call you. I drew you with my loving embrace. First I sent my Holy Spirit and you wouldn't listen. I sent somebody else and you wouldn't listen. Finally I stepped back and just let you go. Not that I don't love you. But if you don't draw close to me, so what we do is we've allowed these things to creep up in our lives slowly but surely. What happens is it changes the way we think. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so he goes. He starts thinking up here. We start seeing the evil. And yeah, even we see the sin of others around us. Well, they do this and they do that. And then we start looking at others' lives. Where Jesus Himself went to the cross, was nailed to the cross. Blood drained from Him. Because of their sin, we sit here in judgment of them. And we judge the cross and Jesus on it, saying, you did not do your job well enough. Because if you did it well enough, they wouldn't be like that. No, He did it well. He did it right. We don't look at the sins of others. We look to their salvation. We pray for those who are lost. It doesn't matter what it is, who it is, where they are. My God sent His Son to die for them.
Amen.
I don't care how bad they do things. I don't care how bad they are. God died for them.
Amen.
I pray for Hillary Clinton as much as I pray for Donald Trump. I pray for all of them because God loves them. Jesus died for them. Jesus died for us. But if you don't appropriate that, if you don't grab a hold of that for yourself, then you'll think that you have to do something to get that which Jesus already provided for you.
Amen.
So we spend our life out there working, never entering into the peace and the rest of God, because we're struggling every day of our lives to achieve what God has given to us freely through the covenant. Oh, The one thing the Lord did say to me that I forgot to add to that about the health system, there's only one doctor, though. You can't go after a lot of doctors. You can't go. There's one doctor, and he specializes in everything. He's good at healing cancer as he is at heart attacks. Same job. He operates. He's our doctor. We got the best doctor in the land. Everybody is lining up to see him. But we have an exclusive appointment that whenever we need, we make a phone call.
My God.
Hey, Doc. Hallelujah. I need to be healed today. Thank you. I receive it now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And so the Lord says to you, okay, this is what you need to do. I need you to go to the church. I need you to call on the elders. I need them to anoint you with oil. Well, can't I just believe for it? Sure you can. But if God tells you what to do, just like the leper, when he said, go tell the priest, as they went, they were healed. When the one came back and gave thanks to Jesus, the Bible says he was made whole. Leprosy causes parts of your body to fall off. The other nine got healed. He got restored. He was made whole. My. God doesn't want you just healed. He wants you whole. Of sound mind and body. Every area of your life, your spirit, soul, and body completely made whole. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord Jesus, even now, Father, as your precious Holy Spirit falls afresh on us. We pray now for your Holy Spirit to stir up within us, Father. There's somebody in here needs to be healed of a broken heart. Jesus, now, set them free, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm waiting on the Lord as we go. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In Hebrews 7, verse 22, it says, by so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant, or a guarantee of a better covenant. Jesus was a surety, or is a surety, is a guarantee. Christ in you is the guarantee you have a better covenant than the old covenant. And we're going to look at that. Hallelujah. I'm just waiting on the Lord. I'm in no hurry here.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, hallelujah, established. Go with me, Matthew 26. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, one of my prayers is always is before service and during prayer, whenever, during worship, I always go to the Lord. Lord, let me only speak what you have me speak. I've got notes and notes and scriptures and scriptures and scriptures. I was up, well, this morning was unusual because the clocks got changed and all that. So I was up at 4 o'clock, wide awake. My customary time's 5. And I laid there and I thought to myself, oh, I get to lay another hour here. And then all of a sudden I just, here's what the Lord said. David, because I pray between 5 and 6 in the morning. He said, now get up and make your hour prayer because I gave you that hour. It's Sunday morning. Because normally I have my message all done. I didn't have anything this morning. I knew approximately where God wanted to go, and I just kept going, I don't have anything. So I said, okay, I'll get up at 4 and I'll pray. Then God will give me something. I still haven't got anything. But what the Lord wants for us, I believe in the next few weeks, is to deal with the new covenant and the healing that came out of it. It didn't just bring a healing of the physical kind, it brought a healing of the spirit, soul, and body. It restored a relationship between man and God that only God could have established. He did it through his son, Jesus. Something happened when Jesus went to the cross. More than just a man dying. It said that the temple was rent from the top to the bottom, which indicated that we had a right to come right into the throne room of grace and mercy with boldness. Bring our needs before him. And he's faithful and just, first of all, to listen. And because we know he listens, he gives us our answers. We have a new covenant with God. In the physical realm where by his stripes we were healed. Jesus took upon himself all our sicknesses, all our diseases. We have a new covenant with him where we were given the mind of Christ. So all doubt, all confusion has been removed from our minds. God has given us a whole, and I like what, I think it was Brother Copeland said, he said he gave us a whole new clean slate. When we went to the cross with Christ, we came out of the grave totally, completely new. All new. And now everything that I write on that slate becomes who I am. I write it. What I put on there is up to me. By the grace of God, and only by the mercy of God, and only by the strength of God, and only by the wisdom of God, do I use his word to write. Wednesday night, we were talking, and I believe the Spirit of God spoke to us. And exactly how it came out, I'm not sure, but somebody said something. And I said to them, forgive me, because this I'm doing, and I don't remember it. I just did it by what I believe the Spirit of God showed me and told me to tell them. Is that when you take your covenant place, in other words, I did something with William. We were talking about the covenant. And I said this to him. I said, Bill, tell me what is the most important thing in that restaurant where you work. What's the most important thing? That if that goes wrong, everything else is messed up. Everything else changes. Nothing works right. And he thought for a moment. And I already knew what the answer was. Because God told me what the answer was. And he said, the sauce. I said, you're right. Because the sauce is in everything. You can have the best waiters, waitresses, the best bosses, the best music, the ambiance. But if the sauce isn't right, it affects all the food. And I go to a restaurant to eat food. If your understanding of the covenant of God is not where it should be, and the importance of it, everything else is affected by it. Everything. Because everything comes out of the basis of the covenant that God established through Abraham, and then the new covenant through his son Jesus. In Galatians 3:9, he talks about the blessings of Abraham belong to us. Abraham being our earthly father, God being our heavenly father. All those blessings that God pronounced upon Abraham. But now we have a better covenant. So I said, when God gave Abraham the understanding of the covenant, he said to Abraham, I'm going to give you a sign of that covenant. The sign was circumcision. When David stood up against Goliath, he said to Goliath, you uncircumcised Philistine. He was saying, you uncovenant enemy of God. Because anybody that's outside of the covenant is enemy with God. Read it in the scriptures. I didn't say that. So then when Jesus set up his covenant, God gave us a sign of that covenant. And that sign is the communion. So when I stand before God and I said, God, you said I am healed. You've said it. And I stand on your covenant promise. And now, to remind myself, I take the seal or the sign. Okay, I know those who believe you're saved and you have the seal of the Holy Spirit. Absolutely. This is a sign. Not a seal. It's a sign. And what did he say? When you take this, take it in remembrance of me. What's he saying? Man, the Jesus, the man? No. Jesus, the Redeemer. The one who died on the cross. That's who he wants you to remember. He wants you to remember that he did something on the cross that no one else was able to do. Why was he able to do it? Because he had no sin. He was completely sinless. When the nation of Israel was instructed to bring animals to the sacrifice, they were supposed to bring without spot or wrinkle. They were not supposed to bring the worst. They were supposed to bring the best to them. God, when he set up a covenant here on earth with you, he bought the best. He bought the best. He couldn't take anybody out of this world because every one of them were already infested with sin. And it was spotted. And it could not be used for that sacrifice to establish that covenant. Amen. When you take that communion and you do it standing on the covenant promise of God, you are taking it and you're saying, Lord, I believe with all my heart the Lord Jesus Christ was a spotless sacrifice for my sin, and I've been washed of all unrighteousness, and I am now established in your righteousness. And I believe with all my heart Jesus took upon himself every bit of sickness and disease from my body. I thank you now, and I stand under the promise of that covenant relationship with you. I receive it because you said it. I didn't. You said it, God.
Amen.
And you cannot lie.
Amen.
You cannot lie. See, that's boldness. That's coming before God with boldness. That's not being prideful. And who do you think you are to say that to God? God told us. Remember what he said in Isaiah 43? Well, let's look at it quick. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Here, I got it written down here. But you have burdened me with your sins. I'm in Isaiah 43, 24b through 28. But you have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities. Look what he says. Even I, speaking, God speaking, he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. Thank you, Jesus. If that doesn't encourage you, how many of us still try to live a good and godly life? We got to be perfect in all our ways. And God won't listen to us if we mess up. God won't listen to us. Yes, he will. Because when you repent and go to him and say, Father, forgive me, he hears you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
If he didn't hear you, he wouldn't hear all the sinners. Because when you came to Christ, you were a sinner. You understand that? When you came to Christ, you were a sinner. But yet God heard you. And he listened to you. And he submitted. Oh, man. I'm not going to go there yet. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. But then he goes on to say, but he said, put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted. What's he saying? He said, bring to me the word of God that I have spoken. Oh, you mean God forgot? No. He's trying to remind you of what he said. Amen. He wants you to remember. Yeah, you messed up. So what? Amen. But don't stay in the mess. If you regurgitated something, get up and clean it up. Get away from the mess. Amen? If you eat too much and it caused you to regurgitate, stop eating so much.
Amen?
Amen? Oh, wait a minute. I can't do it. Well, yes, you can. Father, I thank you, Lord God. I am weak, but you are strong. I thank you, Father, the flesh is willing. Or the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. And I'm willing, Father, for you to deliver me out of this. I'm ready, Father. I'm willing to follow. That's it. No big deal. For God, it's not a big deal. For us, we make it a big deal. We try to make a religious activity out of this thing. God wants you to remind him because it brings to your remembrance all that he has done for you. Never forget. Jesus paid the price for what you're going through. He never intended you to go through it. Do you remember Jesus under the old covenant? One day they were trying to, he was speaking and they didn't like what he said. So the whole crowd of people took him ready to throw him off a cliff. Remember that? And it says that he just walked away from them, right through the midst of them. Couldn't kill him. Do you know the devil has no power over you?
Amen.
He has no power. He's been defeated. When you're sitting in the covenant relationship with God and you're established and you start looking at the word of God as your covenant promise and you say, Lord, you said it, I believe it, I receive it. It's that simple. Some people are inside their mind, they're going, whoa, no, there's got to be more to it than that because I've said it and I didn't receive it. You forgot one little part, the believing part. Believing means more than just saying I believe. It's acting as if you do believe it. If you say I believe the house is on fire and you just sit in the living room waiting for it to burn around you, yeah, I believe it's on fire. I'm just not going to move because I don't believe it. No. He said faith without works is what?
Dead.
What's it going to take? First of all, you're going to have to get into a place where you understand what covenant you're on. Because I'm established on the promise of God. I'm in covenant with him. And the good news is, even if I mess up, God will give me his righteousness again and 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 again. You want to do something one time? You really want to have fun? Look up the scriptures that deal with righteous. What God says about the righteous. He's speaking about you. It's amazing. All the promises to the righteous. And that's you. It's amazing. There's so many promises, you will not be able to contain them. When you stood there, if you would stand there, okay, Father, you said that the righteous are rich. I was poor, but Jesus took my poverty and gave me his riches. And I'm not talking about, look, I know people are thinking about money. Yeah, money is part of God's. Do you realize all the gold and silver belong to him in the whole world?
Yeah.
All of it belongs to him. Why do you think he says that the wealth of the righteous, or the wealth of the righteous, or the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous? Why do you think he says that? You remember when Egypt came out of Israel, or Jews came out of Israel? Or, geez, I'm really doing good. When the Jewish nation came out of Egypt, it said that they went to all the houses of the Egyptians, and they gave them all their gold and all their jewelry. How did that happen? God moved on their heart. Do you know God can move on somebody's heart and give you $1 million right now? Just that quick. Do you understand that? But he won't do that if you'll waste it and you won't use it for his glory. And if you haven't been found faithful in a little, he's not going to give you the much. Doesn't work. I'm going to get on to finances, but money is no big object to God. Your healing is no big deal to God.
Amen.
It's already been dealt with.
Thank you, Lord.
Right? It's already been dealt with. It's not something you have to earn, something you have to work towards. Jesus dealt with it all. Then how come... Let me. I want to clarify something I said. Maybe, hopefully, it'll make some people feel better. When I said that God isn't withholding something from you, he said, "I will withhold no good thing from you."
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Is healing good? Yeah, I think so. It's better than sickness. And God says, "I will not withhold any good thing from you." That means he's not going to withhold my healing. Then how come I don't see it? How come it's taken forever? Some healings are a process of time. Amen? You can be healed, but I don't believe, unless I'm completely wrong, that it takes years to see that fullness of it. When he told the leper, Naaman, to go to wash in the river 7 times, he instructed him what he needed to do to be free from leprosy. Mm-hmm. Under the old covenant. When Jesus prayed for the lepers, he told him, go tell the priest. On the way they were made, they were healed. When he spoke to the lame man, he said, pick up your mat, your bed. As he did, he was made whole. There are sometimes God will instruct you what you need to do to see the fullness of it. I remember one time we had somebody here, and I believe with all my heart, they were in a wheelchair. And we prayed, and I said, now get up. Oh, doctor said I can't. Okay. Turned away, walked away. I had to have faith. Amen. It's sometimes God instructs us what to do, but we don't do it. We hesitate. We question. Obedience is not something that we figure out whether we should or should not do. It's something we automatically do by the Spirit of God. If God said it, well, how I know it's God or not? Would the devil tell you to get up and be healed? I don't think so. Well, maybe it was just you. Well, I'm not in the habit of walking around seeing people in a wheelchair and telling them to get up. I'm not in the habit of doing that. I wouldn't do that. I understand the process, and I understand the timing, and I understand the ways of God to a little bit. I don't know fully comprehend them all. I really don't. But I believe that when he says pray, believe, you shall receive, that it works. And if it's not working in my life, then I have to discover, because when he said it in 1 Corinthians 11, many of you are weak, many of you are sick, and even some are dying. Because they don't rightly divide what he did at the cross at Calvary. That is not to say, and this is a hard part, because people want to say, oh man, what am I doing wrong? Stop that. Go to the Father and say, Father, what's going on here? I know that Jesus took my sicknesses and my diseases 2,000 years ago. Why is this body, this temple of yours, carrying it right now? Tell me. Something will come up. God will speak to you. I promise you this, God does speak to his children. Listen. And then just do what he tells you to do and watch the results. But you have to be in the right place. You have to be established in the covenant. You have to know your rights as a covenant partner with God. You have to know, I have a right to go to God. I have a right to ask God anything. And I have a right to hear from God. And I have a right to obey God. And I have a right to be free from sickness. I'm not saying you deserve it. Amen? I'm not saying you deserve it. But you have the right to it. If you're in covenant relationship with him. Amen. Your covenant relationship. And so when you stand on your rights, those rights were not given by you. They were given by God. God says, I give you the right to come into my throne room of grace and mercy. God says, I give you the right to use my son's holy name. God says, I give you the right to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. God says, I give you the right to be healed. God says, I give you the right for provision. God says it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Matthew 26. I think I said go there earlier. Hallelujah. Jesus was establishing. Thank you, Lord. Covenant. The new covenant. Verse 26. As they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, take, eat. This is my body. Now we know that we don't believe it actually becomes the body of Christ. We don't stand on, we know that some, the Catholic Church believes that. That's fine. That's their belief system. We believe it's a symbol of the body. But know this. It doesn't change the power of it. You understand? When God spoke to Abraham, said, Abraham, come on out of there. Because Abraham was having a little doubt about what God told him about being blessed and being the father of many nations. He was having a difficult time with that. So God said, come on out. Come out of there. I want to show you something. So he brought him out. He said, look at the stars. Can you count them? Oh, no. He said, well, your descendants will be greater than that. He gave a visual to Abraham that every time he looked at those stars, his faith rose up because he knew he had covenant relationship with God and God cannot lie. So he was able to take his son and put him on that altar up there on the mountain because he believed in the covenant relationship with God and God cannot lie. So if God said that he's going to be my heir and he's going to have my descendants greater than all of them, then God's be able to get, if I'm going to put him on the altar, then God, you must be able to raise him from the dead. Amen. See, so many times we go to God and say, God, I'm sick. I don't feel well. Help me. God already knows you're sick. God already knows you don't feel well. God already knows you need help. Why not go to God and say, Father, I thank you. This is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and I am healed in Jesus' name, and I just thank you that Jesus took upon himself all my sicknesses and all my diseases. He took on himself right now my bad heart, and I thank you, Lord, you gave me a new heart. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. What a difference. Now you're going to God, you're bringing what he said to do in Isaiah 43. And now we're established on the covenant relationship. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So we have a visualization of the body of Christ. And when you take it, you go, Lord, hallelujah, this bread. And I want you to notice something. You don't eat moldy bread when you do this. You eat good bread. You wouldn't put moldy bread in you. Jesus isn't moldy. What you're doing when you do this, you're actually visualizing the exchange. I'm taking that perfect body and replacing it with this sick body. You're getting a visualization of it. When I go before the Lord and I tell him, I'm taking your righteousness today, Dad. I messed up. I sinned here. I'm going to give you my unrighteousness. Now I'm in right standing with you again. Thank you, Father. I receive it now. Then you really want to do something? Go into the scriptures and start confessing what the righteous have a right to. Since I'm righteous, God, this is mine. Amen. It's amazing what God will do for you. God is not withholding any good thing from you. He's not saying to you, well, honey, you know, I need you to suffer for about 10 more years if you don't mind. Now, you can be healed over here because you're a good person. They need to learn a bigger lesson here. They haven't learned enough yet. That's not the way of God. That's the way of man. God has said, I came to set the captives free, to heal the brokenhearted, to deliver those who are bound. He did not come to keep you under bondage. He came to set you free.
Hallelujah.
He hasn't changed one iota since he talked to Abraham. He hasn't changed one iota when he put his son on the cross. And listen to what I said to you. Nobody else put him there except God. Jesus willingly gave of himself as a sacrifice. Nobody took his life. Nobody could take his life. God will not take yours. He did not come to destroy. He came to bring life and to give it to you more abundantly. God is not there to say, well, I'm going to kill you because you're a bad person. God never did that. That's not the way of God. God wants you to live a good and prosperous, healthy, peaceful, joyful life here. Not wait to get there for it. Not to struggle your whole life. In this life, what did he say? You will have tribulation. But fear not. I have overcome this world.
Hallelujah.
What has overcome this world? Even our faith. Faith in what? Faith in the covenant that was established through his son Jesus. And I cannot be moved from that promise.
Hallelujah.
No matter how difficult it gets, no matter what. My God cannot lie, will not lie, will not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will always be my God. He will always be in covenant relationship with me. He will always watch over me, protect me, guide me, and lead me, and keep me from all harm.
Hallelujah.
That's what my God will do. Because I have a covenant with him. And God will not break that covenant. And I can't. I can't break it. I didn't sign my name anywhere. I didn't shed my blood anywhere. Everything came from heaven. came into my life and separated me from this worldly system of death and destruction and brought me into the life of health and goodness and prosperity. When I see the body, it's a visualization of what Christ did for me. It's just not something we do. It's who we are. Praise God. We'll stop right there. We'll continue this next week. Hallelujah. I believe with all my heart. I stand here before you, and I'm not a...